Welcome back to HealthLink On Air, brought to you each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, May is here, a month full of graduations, proms, plenty of gardening, good weather activities, and it's osteoporosis month. We've talked about bone health before, but this morning we thought we'd bring you some basics and good tools for preventing osteoporosis from two experts in the field. Joining me in the studio this morning are Dr. Karen Kemmes, PT, DPT, MS, and CDE. Good morning, Karen. Tell me about your alphabet.
Good morning. I'm a physical therapist. I have a doctorate in physical therapy. My master's degree is in exercise physiology, and I'm a certified diabetes educator.
Excellent, excellent. Well, you really are one of the experts to talk to then this morning. And Cheryl Dunseith, BSRN. We think that's registered nurse.
Yes, it is.
Very good. Well, you're a great pair to tell us what it is we need to know. Both of you work at the New York State Osteoporosis Prevention and Education Program at SUNY Upstate. So let's talk about osteoporosis. First thing I want to know is, what kind of symptoms, how is it diagnosed? How do I know to go to my doctor and find out whether I have osteoporosis?
Well, that's very interesting because we do call it the silent disease in that there are no symptoms.
There are none?
There are none. Usually the first symptom people have is they have a fracture, and that is the cause of them going and seeing the doctor, and that's when we diagnosed osteoporosis.
I see. Now, is that a fracture that I would necessarily even know I had, or can some of these fractures happen without me knowing it?
It could be both. Sometimes fractures in the spine happen without you knowing it, but usually there is pain associated with a fracture.
There is. And
yes.
Then I go off to my doctor who says we need to have a bone scan, bone density scan. Now, there's a difference, isn't there?
Yes, it's a little bit confusing. A bone scan actually looks to see if there's activity in an area. So if somebody's had a fracture or they have some other problems, they might have a bone scan. And with that, they get a radioactive dye injected, and then pictures are taken to show activity. What we're talking about here is a bone density test, or DEXA, D-X-A, is what you'll hear. And it's a very simple test. A person just goes in, lays down on a table, and has a couple of very low radiation x-rays taken. And that just shows how dense the bone is.
And, you know, we had Dr. Jennifer Kelly here from the Joslin Center, and she talked about the bone density scans. And we did learn that there was a difference. And they are very simple. And they're really as much a preventive measure as anything else, aren't they?
Yes, and that's the good thing. Cheryl mentioned that we often have a fracture, and that's how we know about osteoporosis. But we're so fortunate now that we do have the bone density test. It can be done early on, and people can get a sense of how strong their bones are, so we can do some prevention instead of just waiting for the fracture.
Very good. Who develops osteoporosis? Male, female? Is there a percentage? Is there...
Well, I couldn't give you a percentage, but it's much more common in females than males, and that really has to do a lot with body frame and exercise that young people get. Boys tend to be more active and drink more milk than girls. But we are seeing a little bit more in males lately as they age, and we see it much more commonly in people that are Caucasian and Asian than people of other ethnic backgrounds.
Really?
Yes.
That's interesting, too. Now, you mentioned boys drink more milk, and that relates to calcium, which I do want to talk about in just a minute. But I also have to wonder, because you are working, you're a diabetes educator as well, Dr. Kemmes, and I would say, I know that Dr. Kelly has been here. She's an endocrinologist, so does this relate to hormones?
Yeah, absolutely it does. And that's why women are much more at risk once they reach menopause, because that first 3 years of menopause, they can lose a significant amount of bone mass.
They can. All
yeah,
right.
Absolutely.
And I know, too, that all relates to hormone replacement therapy and all those kinds of things, which we're not going to try to get into today. But once again, it's a good reason for women to talk to their doctors, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Once somebody develops osteoporosis, can they get rid of it?
Well, at this point in time, at least we can improve things. I don't know if we can say that they get rid of it, but we have such good treatments available with calcium and vitamin D replacement and a lot of medications that are available. So we can really minimize the problems that can occur with osteoporosis.
Okay. You know, there are so many questions, too, about prevention versus taking care of something that's already happened. And now we see TV commercials with the little pills and Sally Field. Speak to me about the little pills. Where do they come into the equation?
Well, once people are diagnosed with osteoporosis, we do have medications now that can be taken, and there's advancements every year with those. There's a lot of competition for the medications. So we have some oral medications that people can take. Some are once a week, one is once a month, and now there's even some injections and some IV medications that can be given for people who have more resistant osteoporosis.
Really? Really? And are they effective?
They're very effective. The oral medications, what the studies show is that they can decrease fracture risk by about 50% oftentimes.
Wow.
So if somebody is at risk for a spine or hip fracture, they can really decrease the potential of that happening.
They can. You know, we patients always look for that magic little pill that's going to fix the things that we haven't taken care of to begin with. And so I see those commercials on TV, and I have to wonder whether they're just one more expensive way to make people be turning to drugs, or if there aren't better ways that we can do maybe taking care of ourselves through time. So if it's all right with the two of you, what I'd like to do is maybe start with, say, children. Talk about the things that we do through the ages that can help people.
Well, I mean, the first thing we have to understand is bone growth starts before children are born.
Ah.
And it's very important that moms get enough calcium and vitamin D in their diet when they're pregnant. And as they grow, their need for calcium increases. And as a matter of fact, adolescents between the 9 and 18 age group are growing bone very rapidly, and they need a very large amount of calcium every day and vitamin D in order to really bank strong, healthy bones for the rest of their life.
Well, let's talk about how they get that calcium and vitamin D then. What do you recommend?
Well, for teens in that age group, it's 1,300 milligrams of calcium a day and 400 international units of vitamin D.
And you know what? That doesn't mean anything to
right.
any of us. So,
so basically, it would be about 3 or 4 glasses of milk
wow.
a day, which is doable if you're a milk drinker.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin D is would be 4 glasses of milk, 8-ounce glasses of milk.
Okay. So, and what about like vitamin tablets and things like that?
Well, D is very difficult to get. It is called the sunshine vitamin,
mm-hmm.
but truly we don't go out as much as we used to. We use sunscreen. So that avoids your body synthesizing the vitamin D into what you need in your body. And so we do recommend that a multivitamin for children so they're getting the D on a daily basis.
I see. So, but you mentioned the sunshine vitamin, and I do
right.
know that in the last few years, you know, after all these years of being told sunscreen, 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 now they're saying, well, you do need a little bit of sunshine.
Right.
How do you know the difference? How do you draw that line?
Well, it is interesting. We find that 10 to 15 minutes, even 3 times a week, before you even turn red, you know, so we're not encouraging people to go out and get in the sun and even get a tan or a slight redness, is enough to give you adequate amounts of vitamin D in the summer months. In the winter months, we do not get vitamin D from the sun in the area.
And what about any kinds of vegetables or meats or any of those things?
Vitamin D is very difficult to get in food, especially the foods that we eat. I mean, salmon and eel are the common food sources, and they're not sources of food that most people would eat in this area mm-hmm. or in the United States. So it's very difficult to get D in food. It is added to certain foods like milk.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Now, we talked about, we're still talking about children and adolescents. Mm-hmm. One of the things that strikes me is every time I hear anything about strong bones, I also hear paired with it healthy teeth. Is there anything we can tell about osteoporosis or bone health from teeth health?
Well, you know, they're tied. Bones and teeth are all related. So, you know, it's one of the things I talk about with the middle schoolers is not only are they trying to prevent fractures later in life, but also maintaining healthy teeth
mm-hmm.
throughout their lives. So they are related. And our body needs that calcium, not just for bone health, but, you know, for other things. Calcium is a key element in your blood. And if you're not getting enough calcium, then the blood needs that and will remove it from the bones. To maintain adequate levels in the blood. So
it will.
Yes.
It will. So you go out and you speak to middle schoolers, which I think is a wonderful thing. You go to the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, as an aside here for listeners who are interested or teachers who might be listening this morning, we'll make sure that we have your contact information, because this sounds like something to invite you to, which would be a wonderful thing. How well are you received by these kids? Are they tuning in to Bone Health?
They really are. And because of, I think, the things they see on TV, they have limited knowledge, but some have quite a bit of knowledge because they have grandparents that they've seen have fractures, so, or family history. So we really tie into that, so they understand that if you do have a first degree relative, a parent or a grandparent, that they're much more at risk for osteoporosis.
And it helps explain to them probably why their grandmother perhaps is humped over a little bit or whatever it would be. You know what? I have a million more questions. We're already running up against the news. Will you be able to stay with us through the news?
Yes.
That would
Absolutely.
Be great. Listeners, we do need to take a break, but we'll be back in just a few moments. Please stay with us. This is SUNY Upstate Medical University's HealthLink on air on 570 WSYR. Good.
Get a little tongue-tied.
So one thing that didn't get covered yet tied into that is for people who don't like to drink milk, some other sources of calcium would probably be really good to pull
and
in.
The other question I wanted to ask you, which I will do...